From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Blessed be your name, O God. Hallowed be thy name, O God. You alone are good. You alone are God. You are the one who asked your Son to come down into this dark world and carry our weight of sin. On this last Sunday of 2019, a Sunday we will never come across ever again in our lives. A Sunday that we cannot turn the clocks back. We stand in your house and we stand in your presence. And we declare that you are our Savior King. Because of your love for us, Lord, we will give our lives to honor that cross. The cross on Calvary, on which you died and the blood of Christ was shed. Thank you for the life we have. Thank you for all the benefits and the privileges we have had in this 2019. It started well. It has been battle after battle, but it's also been victory after victory. And it's only you who has brought us thus far. Where else can we be this Sunday morning but in the house of the God of our father Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? Thank you that you are here. You are here to bless us. You are here to encourage us. You are here to revive us, to give us a hope for the times and the seasons and the challenges that lies ahead. Let your will be done this morning in our midst. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Somebody said amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. Excited to be here. Yeah. Are you strong? There's hope for you, isn't it? How many believe that all is not lost yet? Until the bones are rotting, isn't it? Yeah, all is not lost at all. There's no sign, there's no thought, there's no idea, there's nothing that can shake you or shake us from who is on our side and who is on the other side. Hallelujah. This is the last Sunday of the year. It will never come back. You will never rewrite this day. Yeah, yeah. So look at this day properly and give it your best and give it all that you have. And that is it for every other day that God gives us and God is going to give us. And we cannot turn the clocks back. You know, so once you have the time and the chance, you should make use of it, isn't it? Yeah. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, I want to conclude this last Sunday of the year on the determinants. I want us to look at, yeah, you should know the scripture by now. I want to look at the determinant time. Time, I think it's a good day to look at time as the sixth determinant, isn't it? Yeah, the dance with time, no day, change your life. Yeah, sometimes these things pass by, we really don't pay attention to it, isn't it? Because you hear a song and you think, oh, the song is nice, but you really wouldn't pay attention to the words, the lyrics. But the song is supposed to minister to you as well. Sometimes you may be looking at the dancers and say, oh, that person is not dancing well, but you're forgotten the song. You are not even listening to the song. It's the song you must listen to. Are you with me? It's time that has been there. Amen. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time, somebody say time. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Aaron, it's good to see you. Amen. I hope you brought some biscuits for us. time and chance happened to them all. Ladies and gentlemen, there are 24 hours in a day. 24 hours of 60 minutes for an hour. Every day has 24 hours in it. You can't, at the end of your 3 score and 10 years, come and tell. What is 24 hours times 70 years? How many? 24 hours is what? One day. So 24 times 52, 365 days is how many? Let's do the calculation. Those who did math. 8,076 hours. That's 24 times 365. 8,760 hours in a year times 70. Times 70. 630, not 1,000 Guyanese dollars. Oh. 613,000 hours. 613,200 hours. I've lost count of the hours. That is the time that you and I have. You convert it to Guyanese dollars, you'll be excited even. 613,200 Guyanese dollars. If you go into your Republic Bank account, you clock, you put in your PIN, and you see that amount on your account, you'll be excited. $613,200. If you owe anybody $613,200, when you wake up, your face turn up. Because you have to study how you're paying courts back. This $613,200. A lucky dollar. But this time, the 613,200 hours is yours. It's at your disposal to make things work or not work. To be able to stand before God and give a good account or not. It is at your disposal. It is yours. That is what God has given us according to his word. The Bible says that our life is 3 score and 10 years. Yes, 613,200 hours. But you see that many people for 24 hours even, we can't even find half an hour to spend with God. The Bible says, time and chance happeneth to them all. Time, we all have time. We all have time. You cannot say that you don't have time. Oh, I need to have time. And everybody has time for everything. But you see, time in this context is the appropriate moment to do certain things. Are you there? Time in this context is not just the hours and the seconds we have in a day. But time in this context is the moment you are given to be able to achieve something. So let's say God gives you the time to, for example, pray. There's a time you can't stop praying. In fact, the Bible says that pray at all times. But there are some times that your prayer must be more intensive than some other times. If you look at Jesus, there was a time he prayed 3 hours. He went to pray intensively. And then after that, he said, Charlie, let me go. Sleep. He said, everybody sleep. Time determines a lot of things in your life. You see, if you wanna get pregnant, these days at 10 years old is a little risky. But let's say about at 8 years old, let me calm down. Because if I go to 10, 11, some people may say it's not true. Because some people get pregnant at 10 and 11. Because of the fertilizer we eat now. All them chicken, not fowl cock, but the chicken we just eat. All the KFCs and all these things that they bring and we eat. It induces a lot of chemicals into our system. Where people get taller than it's expected to. So people get taller than their fathers who give birth to them. How can you get taller than your father? But that's what it is now. People are drinking and eating hormones. Juice. Cokes. You drink Cokes for about 50 years of your life. Everything, drinking Cokes all the time. Sometimes you see people early in the morning, they have 20 ounces of Cokes. Yeah, 1 liter Cokes. It's like they don't think about milk. They don't think about cereal. They don't think about fruit. They don't think about anything healthy. Cokes. Tea gives them bad feelings. So they drink Cokes. They don't like tea. Tea is for the white man. Yeah. Hallelujah. The Bible says time is given to us to go to school, for example. Now, you have to understand, Guyana is going to open up, isn't it? Guyana is going to open up. A time is going to come. You can't say that somebody is rich and because, no. Guyana is opening up. Yeah, even if you're a cleaner, a time is coming, you earn a lot of money. It doesn't mean that you should stay a cleaner. Many of you, since you stopped going to school, that's it. You don't even think about going to school again. I see, the time sometimes for you to go to school has actually passed. No, time is not forever there. The Bible says that to everything, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season for it. If you miss the time that God has given to you to do something, that is it. It won't come back. It will not come back. That is why it's very important to understand the times that you are in. Because if you don't understand the times you're in, a lot of things that God brings your way, you miss it. And you can't tell God that you never received them. You didn't realize them. To everything, there is a season. So when the season comes and you miss it, don't say that somebody didn't do something for you or somebody didn't care for you. You miss your season. You miss your time. And a time to every purpose under the heavens. That's a time. You see, I was saying last night, if you want to build a house, you have to start building a house in your 20s. Don't wait, because otherwise somebody will come and live in your house for you. Yes. You die and leave it. So in 20, how old are you?
19.
When are you finishing school?
Next year. Just now.
Just 2 days or 3 days from now. When you finish school, when you start working, build a house.
Yes, Bishop.
Don't wait for no fella. You waiting for fella? What about if fella doesn't come?
God built myself.
You got to do it yourself. If fella come, praise the Lord. If fella doesn't come, let him match your dress. You take a picture with it. Yeah, 19. It's now that you have time. Energy. But you see, when you have time, you don't use it properly. Some people use their time to do other things. Yeah, they say that from the age of 40, you have to start doing medical checkups. Yeah. It has even lowered. A time is coming; it will be 20, because of we don't eat fowl cock. I have to start doing medical checkups. Yeah. It's a time you have to move out of your parents' home. Otherwise, you will never be able to move. Because cheap things is nice. Oh. Yeah. It's nice not to pay rent. You look at your life, how you wake up in the morning, you don't have any bills to pay. You look at you. Well, what kind of life is that? At your age. And it becomes very difficult sometimes to even move out. You are planted in your father's house. Yeah. Is that the desert you are planted? Yeah. There's a time you can do church work. There's a time. You can ask Sister Joanne, she'll tell you. Where's Sister Joanne? Sister Joanne will tell you. Yeah. Yeah. She was a home. Sister Joanne was my home cell leader. And she'll tell you what happened. I don't want to tell you what happened. But she knows what happened. We know, right? Yeah. Mrs. Harry. Isn't it? She caught it, she eyed for me. Thank you, Sister Joanne. Those who remember, it's a book. Yeah. Now, there are things that are possible just because you are doing them at the right time. You see, sometimes marriage, you have to actually know when to marry. If you pass that season, I'm not saying the age, because don't let your mind go on age. Age is not, there's a season. Marriage is a season. There's a season that, you know, you are ripe and you're available. And there's a season where, you see, even the season also comes with proposals and requests and interest. Because you can't say that you are ready for marriage at 29 when nobody is proposing. How can it be a season when nobody is coming? What kind of season is that? In mango season, you see a lot of butterflies around. The season comes with things. You see, come and you see the blossoms and flies and insects. Don't say, how are you getting no husband when nobody has come? It's not your season. When is your season? You will get. You are telling yourself you are getting old, but nobody has come, so it's not your season. When is your season? You see the proposal. You'll be tired of the proposals. Yeah. The guys will come. It is when you decide to say, you know what? I don't like any of these guys. That is when your season can be over. And you don't even realize it. Yeah. There is no season for marriage without proposals. Forget about it. Is that you're thanking me? Okay. Isaiah says thank you. Yeah. Yeah. To everything there is a season. So you have to understand, what is my season? What season am I in now? So that I can do what I must do now. Want to look at a few scriptures before we close? Amen. So, time determines whom you will meet in life. Yeah. Yeah, time will determine whom you will meet in life. Yeah. Because the people you will meet and the people you work with, there's a time that you meet some people in your life. When that time passes, you will never meet anybody. Not that you don't meet people, but they will not have any impact on your life. The people who have an impact on your life, they come in your life at a particular time, a particular season. For some of you, you got older before you met a pastor called Collins. For some of you, you've met me at a younger age. Some of you somebody's in the belly. He's going to come to meet me maybe next 2 years. It's time will determine who you meet. Some people come and I'll not be around. Yeah, some people have gone and I came. It's time. You just hear your stories. Oh, there was somebody called Bishop Collins. Christmas time, he's doing convention and all kinds of things. He wants us to come to church at Christmas Day. Not even in Georgetown. He's taking us over the river to some village somewhere. He's calling Samaria. What's Samaria? Yeah, you tell your children and grandchildren about me like Kokwanansi stories. Yeah. Fairy tales. Once upon a time, you tell them, once upon a time, there was an African man who came to this country. Oh, I remember that man. Oh, that man, he was serious bad. You tell your children, you say, they didn't come on time to meet me. That's how that is the same way we didn't also come in time to meet Jesus Christ. Jesus came for 33 years. Anybody who was supposed to see Jesus met Jesus at that particular time in his particular area. After he died and he gone, you have to believe. You have to receive. By faith, you can't meet Jesus again in the flesh. It's gone. Time is over. Yeah, time determines whom you meet in life. I tell you. Yeah. Otherwise, you have to read some book and know. Smith Wigglesworth. That's what we have. Well, God's generals. People came. They left. A time will come when you say, Benny Hinn Thompson. Who is that? He said, oh, where were you born? So I was born in 2024. So, oh, okay, that's why. Because when you came, yeah, who is Ryan Bonke? Who is Bonke? Time will determine who you will meet in life. You see the life of Jesus in Luke chapter 1, verse 36. Excuse me. Luke chapter 1 and verse 36. The Bible says, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. You see, that was her time. Yeah, you can say, why old woman giving birth? This, there will be medical complications. But if that is the time that you have to conceive, you have to open your mind, though. Yeah. When you are serving God, you have to have an open mind. Don't close your mind. You can't serve God and have a closed mind. When you serve God, you should open up. Rick Joyner was saying in his book, Prophetic Ministry, that if you are going to walk in the prophetic ministry, you should be open to all kinds of fantastic experiences and strange encounters. If you are going to walk in the prophetic ministry, it's an area and an arena of wild, inconceivable, fantastic things. I tell you. Yeah. I was telling my sister Anita, isn't it? When we had her. Yeah, she went to sweep to get us ready for our service. And then that was it. She was affected. If you're going to walk in some of this, you have to expect some. So how does dust make somebody? How? And for those who probably don't even understand, even what honey is doing, somebody used to do it. It's like a wife. It's like a wife. Yeah, there was a first wife. There was a first wife. Who is no more. And there's now a second wife. Because time and chance was given to everybody. Yeah. Yeah, 24 hours, 613,200 in your 70 years that you'll be alive. You can calculate it by how old you are. You can apply it to yourself. Yeah, check the number of hours God has given you and check how many hours you have prayed out of these hours. How many hours you have spent reading. And how many hours you have spent sleeping. Yeah, many of you sleep at least 8 hours a day. I'm not talking about just the night. During the daytime, you take a 5, and it's not 5 minutes, it's another 1 hour. Two, 3 hours, you call 5. It's not 5, it's 6 and 7 or 8.
5 times 2.
5 times 2. How many? So you sleep for about 12 hours in your 24 hours, and then you work about 8 hours. That's 20 already. You won't tell me that 4 hours you spend with God. 4 hours is eating, cooking, talking, watching, all kinds of things. Facebooking, gossiping, meeting friends, this. And so ask for God in your 24 hours. Hey! Isn't it a very simple thing to have time for God? But there was once upon a time, there was a wife on stage. Yeah. And it's just for those who don't understand supernatural things. That to stand here, it takes the grace of God to stand here and do the things God wants you to do. Yeah. Honey can tell you. You see, when she comes and sometimes the song is not going well, you don't even know why the song is not going well. You see, so one small boy was asking me, how do you prevent demonic attacks? And I said, well, you have to be strong. So then he asked me a question. I said, don't compare yourself to me. I'm the strongest of all. The strongest of all, yeah. He said, me, when I'm on stage, your face doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't scare me. Yeah, in fact, your face will make me even preach harder. Yeah. I see, for the others, when they see your face, it affects them. And so when Honey comes, when Sharon was here, when she'll come and stand on stage and she'll see your face. And then maybe you came with some problems, your face is not good. The devil will say, look, they want you sing no song. Then you forget all your words. I really like Saturday mornings. Hey, sorry, Sunday morning. You tell the media to please replay. Yeah. Honey has gone through a lot of attacks. She'll come and then she'll be coughing. You see, my voice is hoarse. It's a cow. It's a donkey's horse. And when she develops that, it's normal. You can't tell me that it's an attack. But you think deep about it. If her voice is hoarse, it means that she can't perform. She can't serve. Yeah. And then when you go into it, then it's not a normal horsing. So when you're going to move into supernatural things, you have to understand wild and weird things. Some simple things mean a lot in the supernatural realm. So that's why when we went to Samaria on Christmas Day, I said, nobody should go anywhere to buy anything. And I was so surprised we had to speak to people. It's like, how does Guyanese behave? You see, Guyanese, you're very fantastical. Even when you come to church, there are several churches, there's water at the back there. As the pastor is preaching, people are going to drink water. So undisciplined or indisciplined. If I allow, some of you will be eating whilst I'm preaching. Because you can't control your thirst and your hunger for 45 minutes. Because we've gone into an Indian neighborhood where we have practically seen attacks. We have practically seen that there's a witch there who doesn't want us to be there, planting jandi flags where she's not supposed to plant them. There is an attack on us going into that area. I am instituting an instruction as a commander. Nobody should buy anything now. People can't sit down for anything. You say, but if you're going to enter this realm, you have to be very careful where you eat and where you buy things. Oh. Yeah. I know why I'm talking about supernatural things. I had to shout, I had to ask people to call her to not go. Several times you have to ask people not to go. It's like, how come you come to church and what is on your mind is food? How come you come to church and it's water you want to drink is on your mind? Why? There's a time for everything. Time to keep your stomach and your thirst away. Just keep it. Just, you know, be a little disciplined. Otherwise, you even miss something God wants you to hear just because you are too loose, you want to go outside. Because when you want to go to the washroom, by the time you are leaving, that's also the time that God wants you to hear something. You miss it. But you see, we don't even think deep about some of these things. And when you miss something, you can, that's it. If you miss it, that's it. Are you with me? There's a time that you meet people like me in your life.
And so you have to, when you meet people like me, you have to really pay attention to some of the directions and the things that God has brought through me. It's very important. Yeah. And you think about it, if you have not met the person you met, that you are married to or whatever, you wouldn't be where you are today. You have not met Mr. Wales. Colin Wales. Maybe Toya wouldn't have come. Yeah. Time determines who you meet in your life.
So, Jesus had to meet John the Baptist. It was important that Jesus met John the Baptist, the baptizer. And therefore, Elizabeth's pregnancy was delayed for a couple more years. So that when she gets pregnant, in that same season, Mary will also get pregnant. And then John the Baptist will be born. And so when, by the time that he starts preaching, Jesus will also be around so that he will meet him. And his meeting him and John's presence in this world actually determined Jesus' ministry, when he was to start his ministry. So it was very important that Jesus met John the Baptist. Because when you read the Bible says that when Jesus heard that John was in prison, that is when he started preaching. Why was it so dependent on John, his life, and his imprisonment? So if you don't meet a John the Baptist, you can't even start what God wants you to start in your life. And there's a John the Baptist in everybody's life. Someone who comes to prepare the way, who comes to kill the giants and kill the lions so that you can... Moses had to rise up. Joshua had to be around when Moses was around. So that when Moses was no more, that Joshua could step in. There's a time you meet people in your life. It's very, very critical. So understand that. So sometimes you need, you know, this. That's why I swerve into supernatural things a bit. Sometimes it's just by simple things. Let's say maybe a particular service, you are going to meet somebody in the service and you don't come to the service. I don't hear what I said. There's a particular service you are supposed to come to because God was bringing a boy or a girl or somebody to the service for you. And you don't come for the service. That's it. Then you are there moving around and say, hey, God, have you forgotten me? If only you could hear him, he would say, I forget you. Last year, Sunday evening, I sent somebody. The person was meant for you. You didn't go. Last Christmas Day, you didn't go. That's how life is. Time depends, time determines whom you meet in your life. Are you with me? Time determines the hour of death and the hour of some other events. Number two. Time determines the hour of death and the hour of other events. In Joshua chapter 1, you know, it's appointed unto man once to die. So when are you going to die? Yeah. But there's a time you are going to die. That time is known in the heavens. It's you and I who don't know. Natasha, there's a time you are going, you know. I have a time I'm going. I can't change it. Yeah? But that time is concealed. You can walk around this world and do everything. You will never know the time. But when the time comes, you will go. Yeah, no, you won't be here forever. Please. Nobody hangs around here forever. This is a liming spot. You can't lime here forever. This liming spot here called Earth, you don't lime here forever. The time comes for you to disappear. No, you can't lime here. No limers for a long time. You will go. I will go. We will go. Yeah. 2020 is coming. We are going to see sunrise and sunset. The sun is always going to rise. The sun is always going to set. Time determines that the hour of death
and the hour of other events. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2 that now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Now is the time for you to arise. Now that somebody is dead. Instead of just going around and crying and saying that. I know a young lady who was whose fella died with this guy who supposedly is a co-owner of Cosmos Grill and Lounge, Pastor Keith's Lyman Sport. Cosmos, yeah. Grill and Lounge. There's a guy, yeah, the guy died the other day. The guy who he was with in the vehicle, the black police officer, is a fella to somebody who used to come to our church. Now, when you go on a person's status, it's the man, it's the buy. Share things over the buy. Last time I saw it, I said, hey. He said, people are some way. I don't know whether you understand. You see the way I see it. I see the guy, you were fornicating with a guy, according to the scriptures. Not according to the system we live in. According to the scriptures, you are fornicating. And the guy is dead, and you're asking God why. Why have you taken my fornicating partner? Toya. I mean, is this a question to ask God? The girl's status is littered with moments and times and seasons with this guy. There's even a point where she was whining on him in a bar. She had gone to sit on him and she was doing that. And she was so excited, laughing. It's on her status. I said, the guy deserved to die because of you, your foolishness. You killed him. No, when somebody dies, you have to be very careful what you decide. Because somebody's death is the beginning of your rising. I'm sorry about somebody dying, but everybody has to die. But Moses had to die for Joshua's moment to arise. So somebody has to be removed for your moment to come. So when some people are removed, be careful how you say, oh God, why? Oh, that was a very bad case. So what? So your rising should disappear? Gone too soon. That's rubbish. Gone too soon. Whose soon is it? Your soon or God's soon? If only you know why God has taken somebody away. You at the funeral, you'll be dancing, you'll be bubbling. Say, time day, time no day. So time day. You'll be dancing. Look at it. It's after the death of Moses. Then God speaks to Joshua. Maybe God had not spoken to Joshua directly ever before then. Look at now, little boy Joshua, hearing from God. He said, rise up. My servant is dead. He said, yes, God, I know. It's very sad. I said, foolish boy, listen to what I'm saying. I didn't come and tell you he's dead for you to say it was sad. It is your time. In my books, this is the moment for you to rise. When my parents died, I have actually lost my roots. I don't have anything in Ghana anymore, really, that pulls me back. I don't want to pull. Don't worry. I don't want you to pull me back. Yeah. It's finished. My thing with Ghana, unless the church I serve in decides something. I don't have a certain passion for Ghana any longer. Yeah. It's gone. Because my parents are no more. That's it's finished for me. It's finished. And you experience it. When your parents die, there's a certain presence that leaves.
If anybody understands what I'm talking about,
you're on your own now. You have siblings and all of that, but you don't connect like when parents were around.
When mommy and daddy is there, you know, you always be there. You go home. Even if you don't want to meet your sister, by the time you go to your parents' home, you meet your sister there. And it connects. The day they leave,
goodbye world. That's how when my mother died, my father died first, and my mother died a few years later. I told my siblings, this daddy's house, let's sell it, give me my money, let's part company. Because after this event that we've come to bury our mother, you won't care for me anymore. I also not care for you anymore. We'll just be there. It'll just be, oh, my sister is here. But that's all that there will be to it. Every each for himself, God for us all.
They have a saying, family and mother, parents die, family broke up.
Yeah, it's true. Family broke up. So the death of your parents, really, if you're going to look at it, is the beginning of you standing on your feet. If you are going to still get attached to your parents and the things they even left around, you fight your brothers and sisters. Many people fight their own brothers and sisters because they don't pick up that mommy and daddy are gone, and now I have to work and fight for my own. I'm fighting for what mommy actually is. If they left a will, that's what it is. If they didn't leave a will, then you have to wash your hands and say, you know what, Charlie, I'm gone. And for some people, sometimes your parents have to die for you to wake up in life. Yes. Sometimes it's not even they dying, but they're actually absent in your life. And that is all to actually engineer and induce a certain kind of strength and focus and attention on God. Something. The death or the disappearance of somebody from your life means so much than just crying and hollering and wearing short dresses and thick dark glasses that you're not crying anyway. And you're cutting your face, so you're not crying. It's fashion for you on that funeral day. Many people don't cry when people die. Yeah. If you come to my funeral, you don't cry. You see, I'll jump up with you, see. You can't be foolish, you cry. Why are you at the funeral? You're not sad that I'm dead? Yeah. You came to drink rum when I'm dead? I'll jump up as a jumbi in your house at the night, you see. Many people are not sad when people die. Yeah. You see them right there, Cemetery Road. They're Guinness. Drink. People sport. Go get a haircut and everything. When people die, we don't get a haircut. Oh. You tie your head. Serious business. Now you're going to line up, do your hair, buy some dark glasses, some fine, some short black dress, your breast showing, you coming for funeral? You are not sad at all. I don't know where you are learning that thing from. The Bible says, when people die in the Bible, David, and they put on sackcloth and ashes. When your parents die, you wear slippers. No, when my parents that you at the funeral, you wear slippers. Slippers. Shoe. Hey, your family will tell you killed your father. Just by wearing a shoe. How can you dress up when somebody is dead? Somebody so close to you is gone. Hey, people used to shave their hair in those times also. Fasting, you don't eat. You have to force them to eat. Esther, isn't it? You have to force you to eat. You still smell him, but the smell is gone in Jesus' name. Yeah. It's like you don't want the person to go. That's what you call someone you love has died. But this fancy, bubbling, shaking, people collapse. It's not collapsing, you know. It's drama. Time determines who. The hour of death and the hour of other events. Let's take another one and we'll close. Time determines the kind of sacrifice that is expected of you.
the kind of sacrifice that is expected of you. A season like this, God expects a certain kind of sacrifice. It's year end. Any offering, any time, whatever investment in the house of the Lord you have given throughout the year, at the end of the year, it should be extra. You can't give God what you give him in June. December is a very critical season. It's the end of the year. The offerings and the tithe and the thankfulness you give God in December must be more than what you do in April. Time determines the kind of sacrifice that is expected of you. When you get married, that time, that wedding, that is when you have to even give God more glory. But when those moments come, we take everything for ourselves. I didn't hear you, man. John chapter 12, verse 23. Yeah. When you go to America on holidays, that's when you don't even go to church. The time that you have to now say, hey, God, is this me? Here in the United States of America? I've also seen the Big Apple. I've seen Virginia, Maryland, Washington, D.C. There was a man of God who, for many years of his life, never traveled abroad to preach. One day, he was invited to preach in a church abroad, overseas. He went to a church to preach. They rented, they put him in a very nice hotel. And when he went into the hotel room, you know, hotel room beds are not easy. Yeah, if you want to buy a bed, check hotel room beds. That's the type of beds you should buy, not ram rope. Ram rope is good for a season. Yeah, I bought from ram rope. So when I came to Ghana, my beds were ram rope beds. It was a season. Mm-hmm. When you get old, you can't sleep on a ram rope bed. You wake up in the morning and say, oh my God, it's Ramroop. It's not no devil, it's Ramroop. It's not no devil. Don't bind no demon. You should bind Ramroop. Yeah, no, Ramroop bed, I'll recommend Ramroop bed. It's cheap and sweet. Yeah. There's no struggle. If you even do layaway, you pay like two times, you got bed. Yeah, lay away two times. Not this court's bed that you have to pay for 2 years and 3 years. By the time you finish paying, you don't even like the bed anymore. Yeah, two times Ramroop, finish. Kisun, two times, finished. Yeah, you go to courts, and I like to shop at Singer, the Lucky Dollar. Where your dollar is not luckier anyway. 3 years you are paying. One small bed. When can you move on to fridge? When can you move on to washing machine? So you need a short moment, you know. You need a short, so that you can buy a washer without the spinning and the drying part. 10 years, two items. You are about to die. The death of Moses. Then you're looking at somebody's flat screen TV because the person is dead. Yeah. So this man of God, when he entered the room, put his bags down, he saw the hotel bed. He says, Lord, I can't sleep on this bed. I sacrifice the bed to you. The bed is yours. I'll sleep on the floor. He slept on the floor for all the time that he was in the hotel. Yeah. He said, this bed? Me? From where? Never seen a bed like this before. I don't deserve it. This bed is yours. Yes. But if it was you and I, what a bed served! Fancy selfies and what? Yeah, Facebook Live. Hotel room Facebook Live. Yes. You'll lie on it and you'll turn around. You'll turn around. And if you are there with your wife or husband, you see how you'll be playing on the bed. Catch and play. Catch and say catch and play, you call it? Catch and what? Catch and play. Right on the bed. Yeah. Before you realize things are happening already. Before you open your bags and you settle in the hotel room. This man of God said, Lord, this bed? I can't sleep on this bed. No, as funny as it sounds, the guy, in a moment where he was supposed to enjoy, he said, you know what, this time is sacrifice. This time is not enjoyment. I've never seen a bed like this before in my life. And the first time I see it, I should keep it. I will give it to God. Then the second time, I will sleep on it. It's very deep. It's very deep. That is why your salary, sometimes, even when you struggle to get a job, your first salary is not now that you are going to take out your bills and your debt. That first salary, say, Lord, I don't care who I owe. I don't care what I need. If you had not given me this job, I don't know where I would have been. I know there are more salaries coming. This first salary is yours. Wow. Yeah. Time. So in John chapter 12, verse 23, the Bible says, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The hour of glorification has come. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. This is the time of dying. It abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Time, sacrifice. Because the things that come our way, many people don't have them. So you have to identify these times. See, sometimes we can easily forget. We can be focused on the next blessing, the next breakthrough, that we forget all the other things that are before. We get complacent as human beings as we go along. We ignore and neglect some of the opportunities and the privileges we are enjoying now that we didn't have some time ago. Time will determine the time for sacrifice. Jesus said, this time that has come, it's a dying time. It's not an enjoyment time. Christmas time is not eating black cake and pepper pot. Christmas is Jesus. If we say Jesus is the reason for the season, we should have church every evening from Christmas till New Year. That is when you say that Jesus is indeed the reason. So you please answer my question. When you say you believe Jesus is the reason for the season, right? Now, so how do you make that known? Your mouth? We say Jesus is the reason for the season. We don't even have time for church. I saw a gentleman. I said, hey, mom, I ain't seen you. He said, Bishop, don't worry. 31st, you're going to see me and my wife and my children. I asked myself, so what happened to the Sundays that are before the 31st? Jesus is the reason for the season. Please don't ever say that because you don't believe it. You don't mean it. You don't even understand why Jesus is the reason for the season. You'll be in church. You say, Bishop, let's have church every evening. From Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day. Say, Bishop, convention, 1 week convention. Let's celebrate Jesus. When people were going to celebrate independence, is that not when they built the Jubilee Park? They allocated money that people are saying all kinds of things about to build a park called Jubilee Park because of 50th anniversary. People allocated money and we celebrated it as people who are rich already. And now when oil comes, we say, a day, 20th December is a day for oil, not a day for prayer.
We are all here. We'll see if we don't give God the glory. We'll see. A time that the first oil, if God drinks oil, we should give it to God. You have to understand times. That is why God said, and let me close with, that's why God said, every firstborn son that opens the womb is for me. Yes. Because look at Mary. Look at Elizabeth. Elizabeth was not pregnant for many years. And when she became pregnant, then this guy begins to live in the desert. When he's looking for his son, he can't find him. They will say, oh, he preaches somewhere. This boy, it's Christmas. He ain't coming home. Why are you, what, God, you're breaking family. You've taken my child away from me. That wasn't what it was. It's like Elizabeth was just a vessel. She just got pregnant, gave away the child. It's like God just needs your womb for a purpose. And the purpose is not your purpose, for his purpose. So he says that the first boy, the first son, that is why Mary's firstborn child. I don't know, Mary, did you know that your baby, I don't know why people created that song. That your baby something, 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 something. Is that a good Christmas song?
Walk on water.
Oh, walk on water. You think Jesus is Mary's baby? No, Mary was just a vessel. It was just an avenue that God used. So when you're asking Mary if he knows that his boy was going to walk on water, what do you want Mary to tell you? That I knew. I didn't know. Me, I understand what you're talking about. Jesus was the firstborn son. John the Baptist was the firstborn son. And so, time determines the kind of sacrifice. Your firstborn is actually the one that God says, I want. Abraham's firstborn, after 99 years on earth, a real firstborn, not the girlfriend firstborn, the real firstborn. God said, I want him. Kill him for me. Kill him for you. My first. Give me second one and I'll kill him. Because the first is special. There are memories to it. God gave his only begotten son. Only. His first and only. Time determined that one that he had, he should give it to the world. You have to identify and notice moments where you have to sacrifice. Like the bed the man of God didn't sleep on. Time determines the type of sacrifice. Stand to your feet, please. It's the end of the year. I think our sacrifice should be bigger and better. Everything that we give God this season should be the best. Father, thank you for speaking to us. We're grateful that you keep us alive. We're grateful that, Lord, you will be so good to us. We're grateful that, Lord, you will cause us to enjoy benefits that you give. Thank you for everyone who is here. I commit everyone to you. I pray for longer life. I pray for long life. I pray that, Lord, you will cause your people to see the goodness, your goodness, in this very land. I come against any plan of the devil to shorten anybody's life here this morning in the name of Jesus. But I pray that, Lord, you, the mighty God, will arise in every life represented here. And that your people will walk with you, experience you, and enjoy the blessings of walking with the Lord. Thank you for everyone, and thank you for this season. I give you praise and I give you glory in Jesus' name. You are here this afternoon, you're not saved, you're not born again. You want to say, Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. Bishop, please pray for me. I want to give my heart to God. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You want to lift up your right hand and say, Bishop,
I want to give my life to God. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. All you have to do is just lift up your right hand. Just your right hand. Bishop, I want to give my heart to God. I want to give my heart to God. I want to give my heart to God. Your right hand. God bless you. I see a couple of right hands. God bless you. You lift up your hand. I want you to pray this prayer with me wherever you are. Church, let's pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this prayer, I am born again. I have been saved from hell. My name is in the book of life. I am now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.